Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hey friends, it's Ken Carmen.
And Anthony Lima.
Did you know that the Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima is both a radio show and a podcast?
You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
Catch the full episode, listen by the hour, or jump straight to the highlights.
Just open up your favorite podcast app, search our names, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show.
Your way and on your time.
But with the Joe Flacco trade, with all the many things to talk about, we head out to the fan hotline and welcome in our buddy, our pal, our buckaroo there. I don't know if that last one's good.
I don't know.
Albert Breer of the MMQB joins us. What's up, buddy?
Jeez, that was a weird one. It's been a long show, I guess.
It has been a long show. I mean, we had a whole nice show planned, and then the Flacco trade happened, and then we just kind of... We've been doing a different show all day long. Were you surprised at the Flacco trade?
I'm not surprised that Cincinnati went and got a quarterback. I am surprised that Cleveland traded them that quarterback, if that makes sense. So, I mean, you can dig into that and speculate. And, you know, I think, you know, Joe's season as far as, like, being on the field was probably over anyway. It's just interesting when, you know, a team helps another team in its own division that way. And, I mean, you can read into that whatever you want. You know, it's either, you know, eventually that roster spot goes to Deshaun Watson. Maybe they want to, you know, take a look at Bailey Zappi at some point and pull him up. There are a zillion different things. But, I mean, I think the first thing that crosses your mind when you see something like that is, well, that probably means Cleveland thinks that Joe Flacco is not going to hurt them with the Bengals, which maybe Joe can file that one away for when they play.
Wait, was there any part of this deal where the Browns are going to come back around and say, well, we did it because we wanted to do right by Joe?
I think that's – yeah, I mean, I think that there's part of that. You know, like I honestly think that there's a lot of love for Joe in that building, regardless of – where they're at as on him as a player. Because as you guys know, those can be two different things, right? Like where you're at with the person and then where you're at with the player. I could certainly see like a scenario where, you know, they say, well, we saw an opportunity for Joe to get on the field and this is going to allow for it to happen. It's still in division though, you know? And so like that part of it is, it's just an interesting twist, I would say.
Albert, who starts more games for the Browns this season, Shador Sanders or Deshaun Watson?
Wow, that's a great question. I don't know. I you know, like as weird as this whole quarterback situation is, it has been, and I haven't checked in, but I know there was a thought that Deshaun was going to get cleared at one point, like it was going to be late October, early November. I don't know if that's still the rough timeline that they're working on. Again, I haven't checked in on that in a while, but I mean, if Deshaun gets back into the practice setting, I think there's a pretty decent chance that like it starts to show up in practice. Like he looks like he might be the best option. So we'll see what happens.
Oh, so you do see a path where it would go Gabriel into Deshaun, and what happens to Shador then? Is Shador just...
Here's the thing. Like I felt this way all along, right? Like, so, I mean, let's just take Shador Sanders' last name out of it, all right? Like, who does the Browns franchise have more invested in? Who does the Browns franchise have a better chance of getting it right long-term with? I think it's still Deshaun Watson. Like, and maybe that's just me being a prisoner of what happened from 2017 to 2020 where – you know, he had grown into being one of the best quarterbacks in football. And remember, like in 2020, he did it on a bad team. You know what I mean? Like he was sort of the shining star in a really tough situation there, you know, at the end of the Bill O'Brien era in Houston. So I don't know. I mean, like, I know there's been a feeling like how locked in has Deshaun been? You know, where's his head at for all this? How did, you know, everything over the last few years, regardless of what you think about him personally, how did that affect him as a player? Yeah, I think all of that, like, it's valid to look at it. And I don't know. I mean, like, is there a chance he comes back as the it comes back, you know, different and motivated? I think it's possible, you know. And here's the thing, guys. If I asked you right now, who's got a better chance of being a really good NFL quarterback 3 years from now, Deshaun Watson or Shedeur Sanders, how would you answer that?
I'd say Shedeur.
Yeah, I'd say Shedeur too. I think Deshaun is all the way washed.
Yeah, and he's very injured. He just even if you take the even if you take the playing aside, he just gets injured all the time.
Okay, you think he's done? I mean, I just think it's like, we have so much proof that Deshaun can play at a high level in the NFL, and we have zero that Shedeur can do it. You know what I mean? So, I don't know. I mean, like, I still have that in my head. Like, they got to pay him for next year anyway. So, you know, do you want to get a more firm answer on what he is as a player at this point before you decide whether or not you want to just pay him $46 million to go away? You know, it's a really, really interesting question. I mean, I don't know. Like, if I'm the Browns and he all of a sudden looks like awesome in practice for a couple of weeks, I'm tempted to see what he looks like on the game field, especially when you're in this sort of transitional year where you can kind of take a free look at whoever you want, at least down the stretch when, you know, I guess presuming they're eliminated from, you know, any realistic shot at the playoffs at some point in November, December.
Albert, I want to ask you about, we played a clip with Bruce Arians earlier today, and he had said the whole coaching world had basically turned on Stefanski, and when asked why, he was like, well, he just didn't win enough games. From people you talk to across the league, have they turned on Kevin Stefanski?
Wait, you say who's turned on Stefanski? The players?
No, the coaches, like coaching across the, like coaches across the league, according to Bruce Arians. When they talk about Stefanski, they just don't talk about him the same way, and they've turned on the idea that he's some great quarterbacks coach, etc. He just feels like the wins have gotten in the way of anything that was good for Stefanski.
I don't get the sense that I don't know. I mean, BA knows a lot of people, so, and BA's been around forever, so I wouldn't want to contradict anything he's saying. I mean, like, the coaching community can be close-knit and also kind of petty at the same time. You know what I mean? Like, so, I mean, you guys, you probably wouldn't be surprised to see some of the comments that get made when somebody else failed, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's pretty common. And, like, there are cases, like, where, you know, a guy will get built up to be something. And then, like, for example, I'll give you a good example. Like, you know, Chris Ballard, who's really well-respected among scouts in the NFL, you know, I think people on that side of the business felt like the media, he was too media friendly, and that the media built him up to be a great general manager when he hadn't accomplished much. Then the Andrew Luck thing happens, right? And so, like, I know a lot of like personnel people that would get after me and be like, well, why aren't you going after Chris Ballard? Like, and like, how long does the Andrew Luck crutch, you know, like, how long does he get that for, you know? And I can see where maybe that exists a little bit with Kevin, where, you know, if they feel like somebody's getting some more rope than a guy normally would, for whatever reason it is, they'll pounce on it. Maybe it's something like that.
Albert, right now, would you put money on Dylan Gabriel starting the entire rest of the season for the Browns?
I think he's going to play well, guys. I mean, I don't know. Did you guys think he looked good on Sunday?
I think we used adequate and acceptable.
Yeah, I said acceptable.
All right. So, like, do you look at him? I may have used this comp with you guys before. Do you guys look at him and think, like, he could be Chase Daniel for the next 15 years?
I kind of thought, like, a lefty Colt McCoy, but yeah, same vein.
Okay. So, like, that's my thing is, like, if he can at least get you to a point where Jerry Judy's got a chance to make plays, Harold Bannon's got a chance to make plays. You know, you can do some stuff with Quinshon Judkins and Dylan Sampson out of the backfield. If he gets you to a place where you can, you know, really kind of keep your young players growing, you know, keep guys locked in, that's valuable, you know? And so, like,
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hey friends, it's Ken Carmen.
And Anthony Lima.
Did you know that the Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima is both a radio show and a podcast?
You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
Catch the full episode, listen by the hour, or jump straight to the highlights.
Just open up your favorite podcast app, search our names, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show.
Your way and on your time.
I just think, seeing how far Dylan Gabriel can take you is a piece of this, and evaluating is a piece of this, but there's also the fact that you got to evaluate the other 10 guys in the huddle, right? So I think there will come a point when they want to look at Shadour? Probably. Yeah, I think there probably is. But do I think it's going to come at, the cost of, Jerry Jeudy performing or Harold Fannin performing or David Njoku performing? So I think it's going to come at that cost where it's going to be a detriment to everybody else being able to do their job for a 4 or a 5 or a 6-game stretch. Probably not. I don't think a coach can do that. So, that's sort of, I think, Shadour and his development is going to have to prove to the coach in the practice setting that he can get to that level, and I think that's when they take a look at him.
Albert, we saw you tweeting out just earlier in the week about just how great the other draft picks on this team are and how they've looked. And obviously, you're highlighting Judkins and Graham and Schwesinger and all of these guys. Has it been enough of a class to really be redemptive for Andrew Berry?
I think so. Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of pressure on those guys, right? Because they still have the Blunts and the Deshaun Watson trade on their hands. And, they gave up 3 first-round picks, and there's an effect to that. And, the reality is they're feeling the effect of that now. That's not something that you just feel in the moment. Those first-round picks would be, I believe, it'd be second, third, and fourth-year players now, right? So, those would be guys who would be big-time contributors on your team if you hit on them. And they would be doing it at a reasonable price, which would allow you to build your team more aggressively. So you lost that, over 3 years. And that means the path to rebuilding has gotten a little bit more narrow. And so, this does look like a really good class. And look, I think that, playing a lot of snaps to rookie is one thing. Developing into a guy that your team really wants to re-sign, 2.5 years down the line, that's something different. So they haven't arrived, but the start is very, very promising. And I think Fannin looks like a legitimate weapon. Judkins looks to me like the type of, back that you can build a run game around. Graham and Schlesinger look like foundational pieces on a defense to me. So, I just named 4 guys there, right? Was that 5? 4. 4 guys there, right? Mm-hmm. And then, you throw Dylan Sampson in, you throw Dylan Gabriel in, now you're up to 6. That's a good draft class. And you have 2 first-round picks next year to work with, which, is part of the whole equation when you were trading out of the second pick.
Albert, how is the NFL world reacting to Bill Belichick falling flat on his face through the first 5-6 games of UNC's season?
You heard what I just said, Nick, about people sending snide texts to each other and everything else? Yeah.
Yes.
Let's just say that network is on fire right now. It's hard to believe how bad it's gotten. The crazy thing about it, guys, is he's not dumb. He's a good football coach. I refuse to believe that our eyes were lying to us in every single way over the last 2.5 decades. So it's just he can't get out of his own way. And I do think part of it is the infrastructure he had in New England for so long. Whether the types of guys he had in the locker room, Brady was obviously a massive part of their success and allowed them to do things a certain way. It wasn't just how great a player Brady was either. is how you could coach Brady hard and how Brady had his foot on the pedal more than anybody else. The example he set, the relay that Brady gave them to coach everyone hard, the value of that was off the charts for Belichick. And then there were people in that building, and it isn't even like just the assistant coaches and the front office people. Some of the support staff that have been with them forever that's not there in North Carolina. You know, Ernie Adams was one of those, of course. And he wasn't there at the end in New England, but he had been there. Bears Najarian is at Boston College with Bill O'Brien now. He was his chief of staff. He kind of kept him organized. You know, I think you're seeing there were a lot of things in New England that were helping Bill focus on what he was really good at. And, you know, I think you can really see that some of those gaps haven't been filled in with what he's got down in North Carolina.
Albert, we got a boogie, buddy, but great stuff as always. Appreciate you.
Sorry for the lateness there, guys. I think I owe you 6 or 7 minutes. Is that right?
We'll make it good in time. Don't worry.
We always
take up about 20 minutes of your time. We'll get there.
Thank you, Albert.
Awesome. All right, thanks, guys. Appreciate it.
Albert Breer on the Fan Hotline. We'll react to what he had to say about the Browns, Stefanski, and the QB situation in 5 minutes on 92.3 The Fan. Most Browns fans, I would say 80% or higher, would say Shador will have a better next 3 years over Deshaun Watson.
What is interesting, I mean, you were very emphatically like Shador, but Albert said it for a reason. And Albert, I'll give him this, he's been very consistent. He's not wrong. He's been very consistent about the idea that he still thinks that if Deshaun Watson is healthy, he will look like the best quarterback on the roster. And I just have a hard time with that, Nick. It's not even just the playing. It's even if you throw him out there, I can't trust him to stay on the field. He gets injured too much.
I also struggle with the idea of he's looked good in practice. He looks like an Olympian in practice.
Yeah, the way he did the very first year he was here. And I remember going to the practices against Jacoby Brissett. And I've said it once, I've said it a million times. He made Jacoby Brissett look like a high school quarterback.
Yep. And then he looked like a high school quarterback for the next 3 years. And I don't know. That was something that I struggled with. The other one is, I don't like this. I understand that the backup quarterback has grown in prominence and the importance of the backup quarterback. You need two quarterbacks now because it's 17 games, although the game has gotten way less physical. But I understand the idea that you need two good quarterbacks in your roster. But the idea that the Dillon Gabriel pick is a success if he's a 10-year backup in the NFL, no. He was the 92nd pick in the draft, drafted around guys who are either already starting or will be starting players within the next 2 years. If Dillon's not a long-term starter in the NFL, it's a top 100 pick. It's a failure.
Yeah, elite teams even have a hard time being like, this is our luxury selection of a top 100 pick being the backup quarterback.
Yes.
They're the ones that get to consider it, and even they have a hard time with that if that's what they are, in fact, drafting somebody for.
What kills me about that is like, Tyler Huntley was a undrafted free agent. He backed up Lamar for 4 years, right? Like, you go across the NFL, yeah, you might have a developmental guy behind an established veteran, but like Mitch Trubisky's making $4 million or $6 million to back up Josh Allen.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
Like, that's what a backup is now. A backup should be either a developmental piece, meaning a guy you think might be able to start or something close to it, or at least be a good controllable backup for 3 to 4 years, and again, shouldn't be a top 100 pick, or it should be a guy that's just failed as a starter enough times that he's got enough starts under his belt that you can trust in a short-term spot.
I mean, maybe I got the idea wrong. I thought we were trying to throw darts at the dartboard in many respects and giving us as many chances to even just stumble into having a franchise quarterback.
Not just quarterback.
Not just somebody that we can talk about for the next 10 years backing up the guy we actually want to have be the quarterback.
So 216-474-0092. Dillon Gabriel is a success for the Browns if. Because if he ends up being a backup, the likelihood he's going to be a backup in Cleveland with how they treat quarterbacks that start and then don't end up taking the starting job long term. Those guys almost always are on a new team within the next year or two.
Yeah.
And then two, like,
well, so, yeah.
Like, what a weird thing to say, like, well, it's a good pick if he ends up being a backup for 10 years for somebody else.
So here's the unfortunate part of this, right? Like, remember last year with DTR when you lost the final three games? It was like, we're done with DTR because he was so bad and you lost the games that you did. You can't possibly keep him on the roster anymore. There is a chance If they drafted Dylan Gabriel to be this long-term career backup quarterback, that you can implode any belief of that being reality if he goes out there and goes 0-5. If he goes out there and loses to a team like the Titans, let's say, and has some really bad games in there, then you can't even sell people on the idea that your backup quarterback is worth anything, because he will have shown that you can't rely on him.
What is the goal with Dylan Gabriel? Is it to be a long-term backup? Even saying it just feels really weird for me. And the coaching update you didn't want in Cleveland in 5 minutes on 92.3 The Fan.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hey friends, it's Ken Carmen.
And Anthony Lima.
Did you know that the Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima is both a radio show and a podcast?
You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
Catch the full episode, listen by the hour, or jump straight to the highlights.
Just open up your favorite podcast app, search our names, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show.
Your way and on your time.